Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we've got a great show today. We're going to be talking about barking. What a topic. And we've got a couple guests with us today. First, we're going to be talking with Ann Graves, who's the enforcement supervisor with Seattle Animal Shelter. Welcome to the show, Ann. So, Ann, what does it mean being the enforcement supervisor with the Seattle Animal Shelter? So does that have to do with Seattle Animal Control?
Yes, same thing, just a little bit of rebranding that we've done in the past few years.
Okay.
We've gone from the term Seattle Animal Control to Seattle Animal Shelter,
mm-hmm.
and our officers are now referred to, instead of animal control officers, they are referred to as humane law enforcement officers.
Okay.
It's an attempt to sort of bring into the 21st century our profession in what we do. Things have changed, and I think our new name more closely displays what we do and what we're about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you are the supervisor for the humane law enforcement officers?
That's correct. I'm one of two supervisors that we have here. We have 12 officers in the city of Seattle, and we operate 7 days a week, and there are two enforcement supervisors.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to start off and just say that I appreciate the work that you all do.
Thank you.
Yeah. So today's topic is we're talking about barking, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different things out topics as they pertain to barking, because it's rather an umbrella term, and you know there's a lot to it for sure. But from your perspective, when we're talking about law enforcement or barking problems, I just thought I'd get some perspective from you, and then also to kind of clarify what the law states and sort of what is nuisance barking versus just barking, because you know, it's clear that we're not expecting dogs to never bark, but you know, it can become a problem. And then, I mean, it seems like it's a rather subjective thing where what one person may consider to be nuisance barking, somebody else may not. And then something that you had said was that you've had the experience where one neighbor makes a complaint, but then the other neighbor actually likes it because they consider it like an alert system.
Right.
So what is the... So it's basically, you know, how is nuisance barking kind of defined?
Well, each jurisdiction has its own code that defines nuisance noise in general, which includes all different types of noise. When it's related to animal noise, it's Seattle Municipal Code defines it as loud and raucous, frequent, repetitive, or continuous sounds made by any animal. So it's not always just barking. It may be a rooster crowing.
Mm.
We've had complaints of goats bleating now that goats are legal in the cities.
Yes.
But for the most part, our noise-related complaints are about dogs barking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right in that it can be challenging from an enforcement standpoint because dogs do bark.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you mentioned, it can be more subjective than other codes that we enforce. The leash law, for example, it's pretty clear if a dog is off its owner's property at large, we have a leash law violation. Pretty
mm-hmm.
cut and dry. The noise issue is more difficult because it's not tightly defined and it is more subjective as to what is frequent, what is repetitive, what is continuous, and
who your neighbors are.
Yeah, what the perceptions are, and there are so many factors that go into living close together, and again, what one person may not even be cognizant of, may not even hear, is really bothersome to another person. It doesn't make either one of them right or wrong.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge to address from a legal standpoint.
Being in that you're covering Seattle, I know in my work where I work with training and behavior, I work with a lot of dogs in single family homes, and then a lot of dogs in these like high-rise condo buildings mm-hmm. downtown, especially, and where it seems like the barking thing is even more of an issue because they're in such tight quarters. I mean, there's, you know, hundreds of people and potentially dogs all in the same building, and the walls may or may not be thin. But it seems like the complaints from the condos go to the manager of the building as opposed to the people calling animal control about it. Is that your experience?
I think that's probably an accurate statement. I think that's for people living in that situation, it probably their first, maybe not their first, hopefully their first is to try and talk to the neighbor if they feel comfortable about that.
Yeah.
Because the neighbor may not know if the dog is barking while the neighbor is gone at work all day, neighbor may not have a clue
yep.
that their dog is barking. But if they've tried that or for some reason not comfortable with that, an association or manager of a complex is probably the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, then I would imagine we're after that.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard a lot of people say, gosh, I wish they would have just told me first rather than, you know, going to an authority. And I think that's a good point. If, you know, whenever possible, even though it's not the most comfortable interaction, as long as the person feels safe in doing so, that it is important to just let the person know, you know, hey, your dog's barking pretty much constantly for several hours while you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. We do encourage that when people call us to complain. It's one of the first things we ask is have you tried to talk to them? And we certainly understand it's not a requirement that you do that before you contact us. And we recognize that, unfortunately, people are not always comfortable talking to their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that's the case, then we'll certainly generate the complaint and follow up on it. But if and when you can, it's always best to have try starting with that dialogue so that, again, the neighbor, the dog owner may be completely unaware that the dog is barking because it's not happening when they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may have just, it's their dog, they may have just tuned it out and don't recognize that it is bothersome to someone else. So that's always the best first step when you can go that route.
Have you noticed, is it little dogs more than big dogs or vice versa or about the same? Or have you noticed any more like a higher frequency based off of size?
You know, I don't have any hard data on that, but intuitively, just from doing my job every day, I think it's probably a fairly even mix.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not any particular size or breed that we're contacted about.
Yeah. And do you have a sense for why? Because one of the things that I'm going to be talking about after I talk with you, once I bring Rebecca Murray on with Invisible Fence Northwest, is the different reasons why dogs bark, because there's lots of different reasons and then different ways to go about trying to correct it. Is it mostly in your experience where it's when the dogs are alone that it's when you're getting complaints, where it's more like anxiety or lonely type barking as opposed to territorial?
I would say probably yes. The two sort of blend in together because typically what we're finding in many of the cases is that the barking is happening when the owner's not present. So it's a blend of I'm here by myself, there's no one to play with, my owner's not here, and oh gosh, there's someone walking by, so I must do my job. So it's sort of a combination of the two. Another situation we encounter is dogs that are kept out at night. When they alert at 2 o'clock in the morning, if it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it may not be a big deal, but for people who are trying to sleep, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was actually going to ask you next, do you notice it's more so dogs that are left outside versus dogs that are in the home?
I think that it's when we do encounter, from an enforcement standpoint, barking that is really just going on and on and on and continuous, rather than intermittent but frequent or loud, it's often a situation where the dogs are outside most, if not all, the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are behavioral issues that come with that situation, including being, you know, bored and alone and maybe not well socialized. A number of factors go into play there.
Yeah, and that's a situation where it's like the barking, it might be the source of the complaint, but really the issue could be that the dog isn't interacted with enough or isn't getting its needs met, and therefore the barking's happening.
Right. And there are times when in responding to a noise or a barking complaint, we may uncover other welfare issues if that's the case of a dog that's just left out without adequate food, water, and shelter and medical care. So sometimes the noise complaint leads to other issues.
Mm, I wish there was a way to include interaction requirement, you know,
mm-hmm.
like the food, water, shelter, adequate vet care is good. But to me, you know, obviously a dog lover and enthusiast to me
right.
is not adequate, but you know, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
Well, and, we're at the end of the first segment. That went by so fast.
Wow, that did go by very fast.
I know. Thanks so much for your time and your comments, and also especially what you all do. It's very important work that you do with humane law enforcement officers and the Seattle Animal Shelter. And just a reminder for people, if you have not licensed your pets, to please do that, because that is a way to support the work and to keep those programs funded. So,
absolutely. Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure. I appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a few minutes with Rebecca Murray with Invisible Fence Northwest, talking more about barking, why do dogs bark, what are the different reasons, and what are some ways that you can go about correcting the behavior or decreasing the intensity of the barking. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
There's a cough, a sneeze, a dreadful bark. Some woman yells, hush up. The woman is louder than Peppy is, but Peppy will not shut up.
Peppy, hush. Don't make so much noise. Peppy, hush.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of animals. This week, we'll catch up with our fascinating ladies, Dee and Willa, from the high desert in Arizona. Since recovering from the wildfires, find out how they're doing in the high winds and heavy rains. We'll talk about homesteading and all kinds of animals. Since they're both former radio talk show hosts and animal trainers, we can also take your phone calls. So plan to join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back with Rebecca Murray, who's with one of our show sponsors, Invisible Fence Northwest. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
So we are going to talk more about barking. We were talking with Ann Graves in the first segment, who's the enforcement supervisor with Seattle Animal Shelter. So she's one of the two supervisors for all of the humane law enforcement officers in Seattle, and really appreciate the work that they do. And so we're going to talk about the different reasons why dogs bark, because I was kind of thinking when we were talking about this show idea and like, well, gosh, barking. I mean, and then, well, gosh, barking is such a big term. It would be like saying on a human show, let's talk about talking.
Exactly.
So, 'cause there's lots of reasons why dogs bark or make noise. I mean, dogs are not verbal, obviously, like we are, but they certainly vocalize and they certainly bark, and different barks mean different things, and there's different contexts where dogs would bark. And in the interest of correcting the behavior, which is what we're going to talk about after that, and a lot of the products that you guys offer through Invisible Fence Northwest, but it's important as you're choosing a way to correct the behavior to understand why the dog is barking in the first place.
Precisely.
So these are some of the reasons I came up with, and then you had a couple good ones too. Attention getting, so like feed me or let me out, or my favorite, get off the phone, where the dog is barking in order to get the person's attention for various reasons, and there's different reasons for that too. Of course, territorial or alert barking, like someone's outside or someone's at the door or someone's walking by the house even. Anxiety and loneliness, which is what I think we spoke to mostly when I was talking with Ann about, you know, dogs that are left outside all the time by themselves. You know, it's just not okay to do that. It's, you know, don't get a dog if that's what you're going to have a dog for, because dogs are social animals. They have such a strong pack drive. And I think it's cruel to isolate them. And so you get a barking, a dog that's barking incessantly because they're bored or lonely. And then, you know, your neighbors might complain about the nuisance of the barking, but the barking is a symptom of a bigger problem. One thing that I was thinking about my own dogs is when they're excited or playing and they let out a bark, you know. Frustration, I've definitely seen dogs vocalize, and it kind of sounds like a bark if they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. And then something else, reactive, like where it's not so much a thought out thing, but it's more of a reaction to something.
Like a beagle howling, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, or like a little dog that gets set off. Mm-hmm. I see this a lot with little dogs. Big dogs as well, too, though. But like where they just get triggered by something, like maybe another, like when they're oftentimes when they're out on leash and then they see another dog or they see a skateboarder and it's like, wow, and they just all of a sudden start barking. Yeah, and it's more of a reaction. And then you had said greeting, and that's kind of like alert, territorial, also excited. Somebody's
right
at the door, you know.
The door becomes a big deal.
Yeah.
And seeing a new person running up to them and barking. And, of course, I had a dog for 8 years named Andy. He passed away in January, and he was a big, loud greeter. And
yeah.
People who knew him were fine with it. I mean, you couldn't talk while he was barking. He was so loud. But people who weren't comfortable with dogs would have been really intimidated by him at first, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's a problem for a lot of folks. And also the other thing that we see, so that especially when it happens at the door, people coming in and the owner of the dog feeling uncomfortable with managing that, embarrassed a little bit too. And then the fence fighting sometimes becomes an issue. So the dogs mm-hmm. are quiet in the backyard, but as soon as they're friends or enemies, whatever it happens to be, come to the other side of the fence, and they can be right next to each other except for a little board in between them, and they can smell each other and hear each other sniffing and scratching, and they can ramp up really fast, and we see some of that as well.
And then they feed off of each other.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's like, I've definitely seen dogs do this, and I like they're more, a lot of dogs I think are more apt to do this because it's like, oh, well, there's a fence in between us, so I'm not going to have to back up
exactly right
what I say.
I can see you through the little knothole.
Right.
Or I bang my head against it, and the owners are constantly having to replace boards. Plus, it's just unpleasant.
Yeah.
To be in your backyard having to worry about that all.
Right. Yep. So there's lots of different reasons why dogs bark, and it's important to understand, like I said, as we start talking about solutions, to understand why the dog is barking in the first place. You know, what's the context?
Exactly.
There's a lot of different ways, because this is such an umbrella term. You know, there's lots of different reasons dogs bark. There's lots of different types of dogs. Dogs are individuals and different, and some dogs might respond better to one method versus the other. And so there's lots of different potential solutions as well. And I think that that's just so important when we're talking about training in general. I mean, talking about dog training, like what is one of the main things that you would want to say about dog training? For me, it would be, it's so important that whoever is working with the dog recognizes that the dog is an individual, and that
I was just thinking that same thing.
Yeah, and that they are able to see that dog as an individual, to get a sense for that dog as an individual, how they think, how they respond, what's their personality like, what's their temperament like. Are they shy, mm-hmm. timid, scared, aggressive, dominant, will, you know, all these different things, because you don't work with every dog the same way.
And then pairing that with the environment that they live in, the schedule that they live by, the people that they live with.
Yep.
All of those things make it so complex. There are so many layers to work through to determine what's going to be effective and fair
yeah.
for everybody involved.
And that's one of the many reasons why I recommend Invisible Fence over any other products like yours, is because of the training. And your guys' awareness as a company of the importance of that, and your ability to meet the dog's needs as an individual, and with whatever the product is, if it's pet-free or outdoor solutions, that the training that happens is going to be individual. So important. So that being said, there's lots of different, you know, there's lots of products out there. There's lots of different reasons why dogs bark. You guys offer a number of different products for barking in particular. And then, like you had said, the fence fighting, you mm-hmm. could even use put a barrier up so that the dog isn't able to get right up to the fence.
Yeah, we use invisible fence solutions to keep them back a little bit from the fence. And usually just keeping one dog back from the fence solves the problem, because it's not, they can't get to each other anymore, and the excitement
right.
goes away.
Yep.
Right.
And there's also some products that are specific for barking. A collar that is it requires two different stimulations, a vibration as well as the vocalization, so sound and vibration.
And barking solutions come in different categories. There's ultrasonic trainers, which the human can't hear. I mean, maybe a small child's ears might pick up something, but animals are sensitive to a sound that comes out of it. There's a handheld model called an ultrasonic trainer. It looks like a little remote for your TV, maybe, but really small. It has a clip on it that you can put it on your clip it on your pocket or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a point and shoot, so it works up to 30 feet, and basically it's just for interrupting the pattern of barking. And maybe you can speak to that a little more, the pattern interruption, mm-hmm. redirecting your dog and replacing it with a different behavior, or getting them to focus on something else. You're just trying to interrupt that, what would you call it? The behavior of where they start ramping up a little
right.
bit. And you're saying, okay, that's not okay.
Yep.
Best way to use something like that, though, is to teach them something. And that's where a trainer, somebody who has good timing and it is totally worth the investment, because you don't want to have to carry around something all the time. That's why remote trainers have a high failure rate, because you don't have it when you need it.
Right.
People don't have good timing. By the time you finally get to it, the behavior is already passed. You can't correct it or reinforce it or redirect it, so you're at a loss. But
yeah.
if you can work with a trainer for most of these things that we'll talk about today, it's going to be the best investment you will have made, and you will make progress because, first of all, you'll have a better understanding of the whys.
Mm-hmm.
Why is my dog doing this? So it's the best options, and then after choosing that best option, you'll have the best success in using it. And all those three things are important.
Yeah, and what you said about the remote, I've also experienced even with squirt bottles,
right.
which is a common, you know, just water, stream of water to interrupt the behavior. It's like, you know, I tell people, don't just get one because you're going to be in the living room and you're going to need it, and the squirt bottle is going to be in the kitchen. And by the time you get up and get it, if you even get up and get it,
right.
you know,
all
the moment's passed.
Thought.
Right. And it's and that's a you know an important thing, too, when we're talking about interrupting a behavior, providing a correction. It's so important that the dog understands what it's for. And that's where the timing comes in. And, you know, we have a responsibility as people if we are providing corrections or providing some sort of stimulation that the dog does not like. I mean, that's not reinforcing to interrupt a behavior or to get the dog's attention, that they understand what it's for.
You know, exactly right.
There's nothing wrong, I don't think, you know, in my philosophy, there's nothing wrong with providing a correction to communicate to a dog if they've made a wrong choice or to set a boundary. You know, nature provides corrections and consequences. If it didn't, we'd all probably be dead.
True.
So,
right.
but important that it's fair, that it's, you know, at an appropriate level, and that the dog understands what it's for, so that they get it. They're, oh, okay, that's a result of my behavior.
Yes, yes.
So
the downside to that, the ultrasonic is, especially if it's a remote, is that the timing part of it and the confusion that can come when the timing isn't right, or if your six-year-old picks it up and thinks it is a remote for the TV, then you're going to have problems.
Right.
It can also affect other pets that don't need it.
Right.
Or shouldn't be receiving that.
Yep.
There is one when you and Ann were talking about the neighbor issues. So
yeah.
if somebody has a neighbor whose dog is barking, they're a little embarrassed or uncomfortable about talking to the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I have known folks to get the ultrasonic model that comes in the form of a little birdhouse,
mm-hmm.
and it's automatic. So, again, I'm with you. If I had a problem with a neighbor, and I have had issues with neighbors, who hasn't, I think the direct communication early on in a kind way with specifics is the best course of action,
mm-hmm.
Versus letting it build up and get to a point where you're really upset.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking again with Rebecca Murray with Invisible Fence Northwest. You're listening to The Dog Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Bark at the moon.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote, or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Dr. Don's Automotive recommends servicing your air conditioning and cabin filters regularly to minimize noise for sound-sensitive dogs and to keep your puppy cool in the summer heat. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service, with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back with Rebecca Murray with Invisible Fence Northwest. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you.
We're talking about barking. So specifically, where we left off at the end of the last segment is we were talking, revisiting the topic of neighbors. And one thing that I wanted to say that I've found to be very helpful for my clients who I've been working with, where neighbors are part of the picture. And usually barking is part of that. So the dog is just barking at the neighbors or is acting aggressive towards the neighbors. So then they're also barking. But even if it's for just barking complaints, that how important it is, I think, to involve, you know, one, for the neighbors to be communicating in the first place, but two, when possible, to actually try to involve or at least give the neighbor that's complaining an opportunity to be part of the solution. Or I like to say to my clients who have called me and said, I got a complaint from my neighbor that my dog is barking. One of the things I like to tell them to do is, as they're letting their neighbor know that they've hired a trainer and that they're working on it, that they would really love for them to write down, you know, if they can, you know, when the dog is barking.
That's great advice.
It would be really helpful for us in the solution to understand more about the dog's barking because it's happening when the owner's not home. So would you, you know, when you start to hear my dog bark, would you just write down what time it is? And then would you write down what time it is when the barking stops?
Yeah.
And then I think it can also help. One gives us information like, oh, it's the dog's barking for hours. I mean, that's, to me, is more severe anxiety versus 10 minutes or 5 minutes where, you know, maybe the neighbor, in some cases, the dog's barking for like 5 minutes and the neighbor's complaining about it. And then they're realizing, oh, well, I guess it really is only for 5 minutes. So it
can
kind of go
worse than to hear someone else yell at your dog.
Yeah.
When you're out in your yard and your dog barks and the reaction from the other side of the fence or somewhere in their neighborhood is, shut up.
I know.
And you know it's not just from that incident. It's
yeah.
been building when it gets to that emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you to prevent it from getting to that level. Mm-hmm. There is a product that a lot of folks have purchased, and in my opinion, unfortunately, they use them without the neighbor's permission. So it's another ultrasonic device that's in the shape of a little birdhouse. You can mount it up on the fence, and you can sort of like a point and shoot. So the dog on the other, your neighbor's dog is bothering you. You put this little birdhouse, you put some batteries in it, turn it on, and point it in the direction of their barking. You mount it up on a fence post or a tree. The dogs bark within 50 feet of that device, and it sends out that ultrasonic tone automatically. And for a lot of dogs, they just quit barking in that area of the yard.
Yeah.
And for some of them, they don't mind it. I mean, it's really an individual thing. So it may work, and it may not work. But talking to the neighbor and letting them know that if they don't have a solution, would they feel comfortable if I tried this on your dogs and let's see how this works?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
To let somebody know that you're doing something that's affecting their pets, I think.
Absolutely. You should not do anything to someone else's pet without asking them first. I've had a lot of clients that actually have used those exact birdhouses, but they've bought it for their own dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they've found it to be effective. Like where a dog, there was one where the dog just runs up to the front fence, which is a little ways away from the house. And then, you know, might bark if a dog is walking by on the street that's a little bit below. And so they just put in a birdhouse in each corner. And it just interrupts, you know, when we're talking about interrupting the behavior, the dog was just like, oh, well, now when I bark, I hear this sound that I don't really like. So it's not worth it to bark.
Exactly.
But
I
can still go see, but right.
I'm just going to do it without vocalizing.
Right. Yeah. But perhaps as a solution together, perhaps if the neighbor was like, I'll buy this for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, not good form to do something to someone else's dog. I can't think of much because I don't have children yet.
Yes,
I can't think of much.
And those run on batteries, they cost about $60.
Uh-huh.
And you do have to replace the batteries every so often.
Mm-hmm.
They never last as long as they say they do. And, of course, the lifespan of the battery is directly affected to maybe the temperature outside and also how much it's being activated.
Yeah.
The other noises, too. It can be activated by a lawnmower, any noise in the backyard.
Yep.
So that's the unpredictable part for the dog. The kids go out and scream and play, and they're setting that off, too, and affecting the dog.
Yeah, and also multiple dog households. So you want it to be something where, and I've run into this with people, and we've had to choose our solution based off of it has to be something that is specific to the dog that's barking, like where I was talking about those collars, where it's something that they wear around their neck and it's set off by both the vibration and the sound and it has to get that double input.
Exactly. Those are the absolute safest. I was at a meeting once where we had some, both of the dogs were wearing spray collars, and every now and then we get a little rowdy and we would be laughing, and as soon as everybody started laughing, the dogs would leave the room, and what was happening is our laughter was setting off their collars.
Yeah.
So we were getting a little whiff of citronella and they were leaving the room, and Once I noticed that that happened for the second time where we laughed and the dogs left the room, I'm like, oh, so we took the collars off.
Yeah.
But without the double confirmation, those things will happen.
Yep. Now, you said that there's, so citronella collar, so for people who don't know that, that's one that actually sends a spray of a scented liquid.
Yeah.
Citronella scented. And so it's sort of, the idea is that it sprays it, I think, towards the dog's mouth, muzzle area.
Yeah, the spray goes underneath their chin.
Uh-huh.
The chin is supposed to block it. I mean, you might, and it kind of even goes out, directed at a 45-degree angle out, so it's away from the face, really.
Yeah.
And that's more of a pattern interrupter also. There are citronella, lemon, and then scentless, which is what we really recommend, because for a dog, just the spray alone, just that sound,
yeah,
is enough to get most dogs' attention,
yeah.
Especially if it's just nuisance barking or something like that. You just need a gentle reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And that paired with the strong citronella scent, it gets stuck in their fur, and now they're smelling that for hours, and with dogs' sensitive noses, I just think it's overkill personally.
Yeah, and I think that's such a good point. And for a lot of different areas, I mean, sometimes I meet a dog and the dog has just been at the groomer and the dog just reeks of perfume. And it's like, oh, this poor dog. I mean, this is bothering me. And I don't have the nose of a dog that's, you know, exponentially stronger than mine. I think that that's something that people really need to be mindful about. And so great that there is a unscented version of that where it just has the sound of the spray and then the spraying of the liquid, and that there's not necessarily a scent. Because I've found with squirt bottles, which is just a, you know, squirt bottle, I think everybody knows what that is. I rarely tell people to add anything to it. It's just water.
It's water, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about the spray collars, there's two models. Premier makes one that's just a, you know, if the dog barks, it sprays, and that you can use the scentless or the scented. Again, mm-hmm. we would recommend the scentless.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the remote spray, so which also has a tone option as well, like a little reminder tone. So you can mm-hmm. do a little tone, a short spray or a long spray. And again, that's something that that's one of the most expensive types of bark control collars, the remote spray. You would want to have a trainer's assistance, in my opinion, to make that worthwhile. When it's done right and you're training the word quiet, I don't know, what do you recommend, Julie? What do you, when you're using barking?
I like the word quiet. Sometimes people will use that's enough,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of depends on the context that the dog is barking.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes I'll use leave it if they're barking at something that they need to forget about. So it kind of depends on the situation. If they're just barking at something, who knows what, in the yard,
mm-hmm.
then it might be quiet. But if we're on leash and there's a dog across the street, in addition to training,
right.
which is a whole nother show.
So you're using the remote device as a backup to your training. And the goal, of course, is to not have to depend on a device.
Right.
Device. You become device-free. And your voice, the leave it, the quiet, the whatever, guides the dog's behavior.
Yep.
So that investment, along with your help, would be excellent.
And the thing, too, you know, in this conversation that is so important, I think, to speak to is when we're looking about, when we're talking about barking, and Anne touched on this a bit at the beginning of the show, let's say the barking is excessive, or what we might consider to be excessive, because I think you and I both agree, you know, dogs bark. It's part of having a dog. They make noise,
mm-hmm.
but there's definitely barking that is excessive, or it's, you know, reactive, or the dog is being aggressive at the same time or whatever. So there's definitely reasons to address it. But why is it so excessive? What's underneath that? Have they done any obedience training? Are they doing anything to prevent the dog's reactivity in general, training-wise, because that can really help? Is the dog bored? Is the dog getting its needs met? Is it getting enough mental and physical exercise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all of these important things to look at that I think is so important as we're talking about barking as a behavior and ways to correct it, that... And what you just said, you know, the goal is to not need the device forever. And that, you know, I think people generally look for, or often look in this culture for a quick fix. But
yes.
Training is a process. I mean, you know, and like if you liken it to children, human children, you know, they're in school for many, many years, you know, minimally. Not even talking college and, you know, after college, but... Minimally, you know, K through 12, it's all a process. It's a learning process that happens over time, and training is a process as well. So it's not always the case where it's appropriate to think, well, you just need to get this and it's fixed.
And I think for most people, too, it's sort of a blend. They have this barking issue they want to resolve, but yet when you ask them, are there times that you want your dog to bark? And
mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody says, yes, of course, you want your pet to be able to feel free to communicate, and especially communicate to you if there are important things to be said to you.
Like, yeah, so
somebody's at the door, or
that's a great point. And it's time for a quick break, but I want to pick up where we left off because that's a great point that you just made. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, this is Mike Wrenn, host of Smart Investing, an investment show that's easy to listen to, informative, and entertaining. An investment show that's easy to listen to? Are you kidding? I've been in the investment industry for 21 years. I can tell you that the biggest reason that most people aren't successful in the investment world is their own behavior. Join us here on KKNW 1150. That's Smart Investing. I'm Mike Wrenn, your host, right here on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Big dogs, little dogs, fluffy dogs, and Irish dogs. Dog Show!
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. Check out allthebestpetcare.com to see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. All the Best Pet Care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. And we are back talking with Rebecca Murray with Invisible Fence Northwest about barking. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to invite the Barking Lounge today.
The Barking Lounge, that's where I teach my group obedience classes.
Oh,
yes, Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
So you said something that I want to make sure that we talk about, that we touch on right before the last break, about important with something like barking, because dogs bark. You know, and some dogs are more vocal than others. You talked about your dog, Andy, who recently passed away last January. I know my old dog, Chewy, who passed away a couple of years ago, he was a loud boy. And, you know, he was just vocal. He barked when people came over, you know, and then he'd stop after they were in.
Yep.
And he also just talked to me a lot. He was a very vocal dog, very strong presence. I loved that. You know, my dogs will vocalize at me, and, you know, I just feel like they're communicating.
Exactly.
Some dogs bark, you know, what I would say is definitely excessive and problematic, whether it be for the owner or for the neighbors or both. But important to get clear when we're talking about solutions, what is the expectation? Is this a situation where you don't want barking to be an option at all? Or is this a situation where you feel like you want an off switch, like people at the door? A majority of the people that I work with like that their dog, starts barking if somebody's at the door or at the window or something like that. I know I do. But they want to be able to say, thank you, that's enough. And have an off switch and to be able to identify, oh, this is a friend. You know, they're authorized. I like to say that to my dogs. They're authorized. And then to have the dog stop and for the dog to learn how to stop barking on command versus maybe there's a time where there needs to be, you know, where the barking needs to be taken away completely. And one of those situations, and I want to talk about the collars that have they're activated by a bark, the sound and the vibration, and it's a static static stimulation. So it's like a little zap, like you'd touch a doorknob in the winter kind of thing. And I think that these are very effective, especially when, you know, things that often work aren't working. And a lot of times this is when the dog has been doing it for so long. Like, I'm working with someone now where it's an older dog. She's been doing it for so long, and it's just sort of a trigger, and she just escalates and gets out of control, and will even, has even in the past bit.
Wow.
Just because she gets so amped up. It's a terrier, so it's not like this calm, calculated aggression. It's like she's so in, you know, the red zone, as I've heard it referred to, or you know, just so amped up. And that's where we talk about having something to interrupt that, to say, hey, 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 whoa, you know, you can't do that. And it's not good for her to do that. And it's potentially going to have her bite somebody, which is really not good.
Yep.
So, and this has worked beautifully, and it's only a problem when she's out in the yard. And when she's out in the yard is in the context of where she's out in the yard with her owner and her owner's gardening, and it's with a neighbor, and the neighbors work from home, and they're in and out a lot, and you know, this happens a lot. And so it's the type of thing where, well, it's okay to take the barking away for short periods of time when the dog is supervised.
That's great, how a good example of that whole diagnostic process where you drill down to the exactly what the scenario that creates the issue,
mm-hmm.
and then that gives you the option of looking at the proper solution. I mean, and that's, I think that in that one element that you just described is why barking solutions in general have a very high failure rate, because that isn't part of the process.
Right.
And is the key to the success of the process.
And,
or the solution.
Yeah, and this was a dog that where they have two dogs, but it's the one dog, and they both bark, but they bark for, it's a whole different, the nature of the barking is very different, but it's really important that when she barks, that he doesn't get a consequence for it, because that's not fair.
Exactly.
So I want to make sure, we've only got a few minutes left. I can't believe how fast these go by. So where can people look at your barking solutions online? Is through Invisible Fence Northwest?
We have a new store at invisiblefence.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go to invisiblefence.com and type in your zip code, you'll go to our store, and there's a big link on the page that you'll be brought to that says barking solutions,
mm-hmm.
or bark control, I guess is what it's called.
Okay.
And in that category, you'll see all of the different solutions that we talked about today. But again, finding which one's going to be the most appropriate, most people will need some help, because you don't want to waste $50, $60, $70, or $125 making a good purchase.
Right. And you also want to do what's best for the dog.
Yes.
And, you know, very important wherever you are, you know, that if you're not really sure how to go about doing this, you know, don't just put something on your dog and hope it works, because you can certainly create issues and even have a negative impact if, like I said, the dog doesn't understand. So it's important to either, you know, consult with a trainer. If you're in the Seattle area, you can contact me. My training website is sensitivedog.com. You can email me at julie@sensitivedog.com, and you can always reach me, host@dogtalkshow.com as well. And you can also ask Invisible Fence if you're not sure which product, or, you know, if you have questions about the products, you can always ask you guys as well.
Absolutely.
So they can go to invisiblefence.com and then under bark control and look at the products, and then
just type in your zip code and it'll take you right to our site, and then click on go shopping and it'll take you right to the store.
Okay, excellent. Wanted to announce, I've got a couple talks coming up, Sunday, October 23rd at the, All the Best Pet Care in Redmond at 6:30 PM, How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. Really looking forward to both of these. Also Thursday, November 10th at 7:30 PM at the Ballard location, All the Best Pet Care. How to get your dog to do what you ask. So try to make it to either one of those. I'd love to see you there. Rebecca, thanks so much for your time today. Really great information, and I just love you guys and your products and your training and the support that you provide your customers. So definitely a great company. And so your website locally, is it still invisiblefencenw.com?
Yes.
Okay, but if you want to look at the bark control, you go to invisiblefence.com, type in your zip code, go to bark control, and then you can see the products there as well, and you can order them from there.
That's right.
All right, Rebecca, thanks so much. I'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Julie. Have a great day.
Yep. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.